Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray, engineering and producing the show. As we say, on the other side of the glass, his very friendly, smiling face always is uplifting to me. Anyway, it is the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, December the 14th, 2016. The Southwest Books of the Year competition. That will be our focus for the next 30 minutes or so. It began in 1977, that competition, by the Arizona Daily Star, and continued in 2000 by the Pima County Public Library. The Southwest Books of the Year best reading publication is published by the Southwest Literature Project of the Pima County Public Library in partnership with the Friends of the Pima County Public Library and the Arizona Historical Society. Books selected by two or more of the five reviewers become a top pick, and this year we have 10 top picks, which we will be discussing. Two of the five reviewers joining us now on the Buckmaster Show to talk about the cream of the crop of this year's submissions. Dr. Bruce Dingus is with us. Dr. Dingus, Director of Publications for the Arizona Historical Society. And he has been a Southwest Books of the Year panelist since 1987. Helene Woodhams is with us. Helene is the Literary Arts Librarian for Pima County Public Libraries, and she co-chairs the Literary Committee of the Tucson Festival of Books. And she has been the coordinator of Southwest Books of the Year since 2006. Dr. Dingus, Bruce, good to see you.
Good seeing you, Bill.
Helene, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
So we have lots of books to talk about, so let's plow right into it and take a look at a book. The first title we're going to talk about, Desert Boys by Chris McCormick. Bruce Dingus, why did you like this one?
This is the first novel. It appealed to me. I'm a small town boy, and this series of interconnected stories takes place in a small town in the Mojave Desert, where a young man feels a little bit out of place, as many young men do. He's in small towns. He's sort of an intellectual. He's gay. He moves off, can't wait to leave, moves off to San Francisco, has a career, and is drawn back there. And reconnecting with old friends, he discovers that we really don't choose the places where we belong. They choose us. And it's beautifully written. Just a great first novel.
By Picador, the publisher, correct? If people want to
get
the book. And the author again, Chris McCormick, the book Desert Boys. The next book is The Disappearances, a story of exploitation, murder, and mystery in the American West by Scott Thibany. And that book is published by the University of Arizona Press. Helene Woodhams, this was one of your picks. What did you like about this one?
It is. Well, Thibany is an archaeologist and a former river guide, and he tells a great story. So while he's doing research for an essay on explorations, he comes across a copy of the Deseret News from 1935. And in it is mentioned three separate disappearances, all in the Four Corners country. And he's fascinated. The first one is Dan Thrapp, who's an archaeologist that was due back two months earlier, and no one knows where he is. The really tragic disappearance of Lucy Garrett, who was a 13-year-old girl who was abducted by the man who killed her father, by promising her that he was going to lead her to him. And then finally, Everett Roos, who was a bright young artist who went walkabout deep into the country, never disappeared without a trace.
So he puts these three stories together.
And he is fascinated by the convergence. Mm. And he does his forensics, and he's quite a researcher. And he delves into archives and court records and magazine morgues. And then he goes out into the field. Mm-hmm. And he goes out and he's comparing photographs with 80-year-old photographs with the scenes that he's looking at. And he's scrambling over the same rocks. And he's made himself part of it. And he has these riveting verdicts. And it weaves regional history into personal accounts, and it's touching and it's fascinating.
Sounds
interesting. And it's a great read.
The Disappearances, that is the title of that book, a story of exploration, murder, and mystery in the American West. The third book we want to talk about is The Fire Line, the story of the Granite Mountain Hotshots in One of the Deadliest Days in American Firefighting by Fernanda Santos. We interviewed her shortly after this book was released, Bruce Dingus. Fernanda is the New York Times bureau chief up in Phoenix, and she is a terrific writer.
This is the third book, actually, in the last 2 years on the Yarnell Hill Fire, and it's by far the best. She had me at the first page, which is just a diagram of where the bodies were found of the Granite Mountain hotshots that perished in the blaze. She goes into their personal stories. She talks about wildland firefighting and about the concept, the economics, and politics of wildfires. You would be not surprised to learn, perhaps, that you are a better chance of surviving a wildfire if you live in a wealthy community than if you live in a poor community. She just ties a lot of things together, and as you say, it's beautifully written, really a gripping story.
Fernanda Santos is the author of the book The Fire Line, the story of the Granite Mountain hotshots and one of the deadliest days in American firefighting. The fourth book of the 10 that we will be discussing, Georgia O'Keeffe, Watercolors, 1916 to 1918. I know from my research into O'Keeffe, that's a period I love. Her particular work, Helene
and
Woodham.
This is a beautiful book. It contains 46 watercolors, mm-hmm. and they are to scale. So the size that she painted them, they're perfectly exquisite. And it's I think you're the exception. It's a time period that most people don't know that much about O'Keeffe. She spent 2 years living in West Texas. She was teaching in an art college.
I think Canyon, Texas.
Canyon, Texas, exactly mm-hmm. right. And it's sere and it's austere, and she doesn't know why she likes it as much as she does. But her future husband, Stiglitz, tells mm-hmm. her, this is where you are becoming yourself. And she called it the beautiful nothing. Mm. And she didn't mean it pejoratively. She meant that it had brought her to new levels of aesthetic appreciation and really helped form her as an artist. One of the best things about this book that I particularly loved was the fact that there's a slip pocket with a guide and biographical photos and biographical notes and notes about the paintings. On the cover is a photo of O'Keeffe, and she's squatting on the ground in front of a painting she's working on, looking over her shoulder, and you realize that you are watching her in the process of becoming Georgia O'Keeffe.
Is this this is an issue from the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum in Santa Fe.
I believe
they were involved in the publishing of this book. And again, it's Georgia O'Keeffe, Watercolors, 1916 to 1918. These books would make terrific holiday gifts, especially the O'Keeffe book. That's, as I say, a period I really like. Let's see if we can get halfway there to our 10 picks before we take our break. So next up is Bruce Dingus. And by the way, the O'Keeffe book, three of the five reviewers, Helene, picked that one. And going through your list here, I think that might be, well, no, there are a couple. Hmm. In fact, the next book I'm going to mention, three of the five liked it, and that was the book The Kid,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah. What a fabulous
by
book.
By Ron Hansen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the question that raises, of course, is does the world really need another novel about Billy the Kid? quoting Bruce, for authors, Billy the Kid is the gift that keeps on giving. this is evocative. It's an entertaining novel. Ron Hansen is the author of The Desperados and the Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford. It's an intriguing reimagining of a Western icon set in against the background of New Mexico's Lincoln County War, and it is world-class storytelling.
Bruce, you want to jump in on this one? Because this was also, you and Helene agreed, there were three of your reviewers picking The Kid, and you two said yes to this one. Thumbs up.
Yeah, nobody does it better than Ron Hansen. The Assassination of Jesse James by the Coward Robert Ford is one of my favorite books and also one of my favorite movies that nobody's ever seen. And Hansen not only does his research, but he's got a good wit and he's got a real feel for dialogue. It's a great mm-hmm. read.
And this book is published by Scribner, and again, the author, Ron Hansen, The Kid. And Bruce, what is the deal with Billy the Kid? People just can't seem to get enough of this particular, what do you call it? American icon would be safe. I mean, some may say hero, depending on your point of view.
Well, my friend Paul Hutton once talked about Billy the Kid's endless ride. We know just enough about him that we can project our fantasy on him forever.
All right. It is the Southwest Books of the Year competition. We are talking with two of the five reviewers of this year's top picks, and this year there are 10. We have gone through five of them quickly. I will recap those five. Desert Boys, The Fire Line, The Disappearances, Georgia O'Keeffe, Watercolors 1916 to 1918, and the book we were just talking about, The Kid. So we'll talk about the next five on our list as the Buckmaster Show continues right after this. The excitement is building for the grand opening in early 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in early 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers, more than 24 Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and, of course, your calls. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice, and always on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It is our annual segment where we talk about the top picks in the Southwest Books of the Year, the best reading publication published by the Southwest Literature Project of the Pima County Public Library in partnership with the Friends of the Pima County Public Library and the Arizona Historical Society. Two of the five reviewers of this year's top picks with us, and there are 10 top picks. We went through the first five during the first segment just to review those books: Desert Boys, The Fireline, The Disappearances, Georgia O'Keeffe, Watercolors 1916 to 1918, and a book called The Kid. Let's talk about the next pick with one of our two reviewers. Helene Woodhams is with us, and Dr. Bruce Dingus is also here. Helene, the next book is Mythical River, Chasing the Mirage of New Water in the American Southwest by Melissa Sevenet, published by the University of Iowa Press. And Melissa is a terrific writer.
She is a terrific writer. Melissa is the science reporter for the NPR affiliate in Flagstaff. Bill Broyles suggested that she is balanced, funny, and perceptive, and brings youthful exuberance to her alluring narrative. What she doesn't bring to it is magical thinking. She is very clear-sighted about what it takes to live in the arid Southwest, and she lays it out in this book in a most fascinating way. The title comes, Mythical River, comes from the Buenaventura, which was a river that Spanish explorers thought they had discovered, that went, they thought, from the Midwest to the Pacific Ocean. Sadly, it did not, and it wasn't going to supply any kind of easy route for travel. And regardless, they put it on a map, neglecting to put on the great desert that it would have crossed through, or the mountains. And it's this kind of magical thinking that Savini is writing about when she talks about how difficult it would be. Believing that there is water where there actually isn't any is always our problem. And she uses well-supported science in beautiful prose to explore how these visions of water in the arid Southwest will be to our detriment unless we take personal responsibility, and soon.
She's had a great year, Bruce Dingus. Her book at the University of Arizona Press, chronicling kind of the early days of astronomy at the University of Arizona, planetary science. I believe the book's Desert Skies, Dark Skies is done very well. So it's been a good year for her.
Yeah, it's hard to write interesting institutional history, but yes. But she pulls it off in this one because she focuses on characters, and they're very interesting, and it's a lively book, believe it or not.
That's Dr. Bruce Dingus, Dr. Dingus, Director of Publications for the Arizona Historical Society, and Helene Woodhams is the Literary Arts Librarian for the Pima County Public Libraries, and she's also the co-chair of the Literary Committee of the Tucson Festival of Books. Some of these authors that we're mentioning will be taking part, Helene, in the book festival.
That's absolutely true. We have T.C. Boyle is coming. We have Paulette Giles, whose book we'll get to shortly. Fernanda Santos will be there. Andre Resendez will be there, and he was on the shortlist, I believe, for the National Book Award. We have 7 honorees from the National Book Award who will be there.
Good lineup.
Yeah, fabulous lineup, including the winner for fiction and the winner for nonfiction.
All right, our next book, you mentioned Paulette Giles. Mm-hmm. Her book, published by William Morrow, is titled News of the World, Helene.
And it is a perfectly wonderful book. It is historical fiction set in post-Civil War Texas. This is not an unfamiliar theme. It's about an old man and a little girl alone against adversity. You've heard it before, but Giles is a gifted storyteller, and in her capable hands, the story is completely new. The Captain Kidd is a veteran of several wars. He's a newsreader. He goes from town to town in Texas, renting the playhouse, sending out handbills and reading people the news. Johanna is a 10-year-old who was captured by the Kiowa. She's been a hostage for 4 years. She's recently released. Someone has to bring her back to her family. He is the unwilling person who is going to do it. They don't understand each other. She no longer speaks English. He doesn't understand her culture. But over time, they face adversity together. And he's patient and courageous, and she's plucky and resourceful, and they learn to trust and care about each other.
That would have been a great profession for me in the 19th century. I could have gone from town to town, Bruce and Helene. I could have been a newsreader for all the folks that wanted to hear the news. Give them a little... Give them a little presentation.
And you would have done well. It was so terribly important to the people there.
The next title, The Other Slavery, The Uncovered Story of Indian Enslavement in America. Bruce Dingus, this was one of your picks.
Yes, this is, as Elaine said, this was a finalist for the National Book Award. Resendez is a history professor at UC Davis. And what he's looking at this is the common wisdom is that Indian native populations were decimated by disease. He posits the idea that it was disease plus slavery, and that slavery dates back to the landing of Columbus, and it extended up into the 20th century. And it's a story of good intentions gone bad. The Spanish crown, of course, was opposed to slavery, forbade it, but the economic necessity and greed led Spaniards and Indian peoples themselves to slavery, and the legacy has lasted right down almost to the present day.
Next book is The Sonoran Desert, A Literary Guide. This is published by the University of Arizona Press. And again, Dr. Bruce Dingus, this is a book that you earmarked as one of the top picks.
Yeah, this is a remarkable little book. I often say I'd buy anything that Paul Marocca illustrates. And his illustrations in this complement the text, which is about 5 dozen authors who write both poetry and prose on the feelings that desert animals and plants evoke in them. Each one of them is accompanied by a little scientific description, but what you get here is a feel for the desert, which is something really kind of unique. It's a beautiful little book.
It really does celebrate the wonderful biodiversity that we have in the Sonoran Desert. The Terranauts, we mentioned author T.C. Boyle, who has a huge following. Mr. Boyle will be coming to the Tucson Festival of Arts Book Festival. That will be coming up in March. And again, Bruce Dingus, you like T.C. Boyle's work, especially this one.
Yeah, Boyle grabbed me with his first novel, Water Music, and has kept me reading ever since. There's nobody better at, you know, exposing the foibles of the human character, and the biosphere is like the story that was waiting for him to tell. In this book, he imagines a second team going in after the collapse of the first experiment when someone goes out because she cut her finger and comes back with a pizza. And in this reimagining, a group of incredibly dedicated and incredibly self-involved people go in determined to finish the job that ended so tragically earlier, and a comedy of errors ensues, and it not only exposes these human foibles, but it has something serious to say about cults and how we see ourselves and how others see us.
You know, that is perfect timing, because the 25th anniversary of sealing that first crew in the biosphere was in September. So this is good timing for this particular book. So The Terranauts, T.C. Boyle, we talked about that. We talked about The Sonoran Desert, A Literary Guide, The The Other Slavery. We talked about the book Mythical River, News of the World. And again, to recap earlier segment, we talked about Desert Boys, The Fire Line, The Disappearances, Georgia O'Keeffe Watercolors, 1916, 1918, and The Kid. Overall, your impressions, Helene, of this of the dozens and dozens of books that you took a look at?
What I particularly like about this Southwest Books of the Year is that the amount of fiction that's in it. Sometimes it's hard to find regional fiction, and this has a nice, healthy dose of it, and it's wonderful.
Where can we get this handy little beautiful color brochure that you have in front of you?
I am so glad you asked. This is available at all 27 libraries in Pima County.
Yeah.
It's there. It's free. We'd love for you to come pick one up and visit us in the library.
Bruce, your impressions characterize this crop of books.
Oh, you know, I'm always joyful with this time of year. The book festival and Southwest Books of the Year are the two high points of my year. It's what I love to do, and the crop is always great. I know we've tried to say one is better than the other, but it never is. You're just always a surprise, and you always come away feeling, boy, I've done some good reading.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've given some people some wonderful ideas for holiday selections. And again, the Tucson Festival of Books, this will be year number 6?
No, this is year number 9.
Oh my goodness, how time flies. That's unbelievable.
Well, it's the miracle in the desert.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, it started as no one really knew what to expect.
Absolutely.
And it's turned into one of the premier book events in the United States.
This is absolutely true. Southwest Books of the Year had a panel that first Saturday, that first book festival. And we were amazed at the number of people that were there. We had not expected this. We heard reports that Mountain Avenue was backed up as far as anyone could see. And we said,
I was there that first year. I've been there most of the years, and I've taken part, and it's been great. The dates again for the book festival?
March 11th and 12th.
All right. Helene, Bruce, thank you very much. Hope you both have a great holiday season.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
You too. Thanks very much.
Be right back.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stelzfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Experience the best of the Canadian Rocky Mountains with the rail journey on Rocky Mountaineer. You'll travel alongside the powerful Kicking Horse River and pass by monumental landmarks from the early days of the National Railway. On this legendary route, you'll see postcard images around each bend, including stays in picturesque Lake Louise, with scenic tours of Jasper National Park, and much more. Contact Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Rocky Mountaineer rail journey today. Bon Voyage Travel, your travel experts.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. And with almost 60 flights a day taking off from Tucson International Airport nonstop to San Diego, Los Angeles, Las Vegas, Oakland, San Francisco, Salt Lake City, Denver, Portland, Seattle, Dallas, Houston, Minneapolis, Chicago, Atlanta, New York, and easy one-stop connections to hundreds of destinations around the world, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you have not completed your holiday decorating, Green Things has a sea of poinsettias. They are so colorful. I've got a beautiful, it's got to be 3 or 4 feet tall in my living room, 3384 East River Road for Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to greenthingsaz.com. All the details on their website. It's time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated, Tucson-based binational economic development organization representing one of the most dynamic and growing business centers in North America. For the past 10 years, the organization has helped to drive significant business investment into Tucson and Southern Arizona through primary job creation, resulting in thousands of jobs and an economic impact, get this, nearly $8 billion with a B, dollars. For more information, visit suncorridorinc.com. We welcome now on the live line Brenda Goldsmith. Ms. Goldsmith, Executive Director of the El Rio Health Foundation. El Rio was founded back in 1970 as a neighborhood health center and currently provides medical, dental, and health care for more than 93,000 individuals with 11 health care campuses in Tucson and more than 1,100 employees. Brenda Goldsmith, how are you?
I'm doing wonderful, Phil. How are you today?
I'm doing very well. I'm excited about your new partnership with TMC. What's that all about?
Yes, you know, we've had a long-term relationship with Tucson Medical Center, and we decided to move forward in a brand new nonprofit called Health on Tucson. And we're excited to announce to your audience we're opening up our first joint site together downtown Tucson called Health on Broadway, and this new healthcare site will be opening next year in February.
What's involved with that one? What are you going to have with this Health on Broadway?
You know, we're real excited. This is going to be a brand new model that we haven't seen yet in Tucson, where all of the employees there will be certified as health coaches. We'll be catering to downtown employers for their employees. So we've been working with Tucson Medical Center in dialogue with Pima County, with the city employees, with Tucson Electric Power, and those residents and new residents that are moving into the downtown area to provide a wide range of primary health care services and wellness much like Tucson Medical Center does up at the core at La Encantada.
That's really great. So downtown now will be served with this particular, will it be like a walk-in type medical center, Brenda?
We'll have both opportunities for people. So if people do have already a great relationship with a primary care provider in Tucson, they would be able to walk in but still maintain their primary care relationship. But if they're looking for a health home, that will be available as well. And we're looking to keep the site will be open in Monday through Friday in the evening hours and also on Saturdays for those people that are either working later downtown and or living downtown.
Good idea. Health on Broadway coming soon. Also, what's this news about a groundbreaking for a new site over at 22nd?
Yes, just last week we actually had a wonderful groundbreaking ceremony, and El Rio's next big project is a new 40 to 45,000 square foot site that will be located on the southeast corner of 22nd and Cherryvale, and that site will be, again, available to any member in the community, and we will have everything from medical to dental to pharmacy to radiology, a very comprehensive one-stop shopping site for the community.
That is really the future, isn't it, of healthcare, taking the healthcare to the people, isn't it, Brenda?
It really is, and you've been such a great supporter in understanding that that's what El Rio offers, is this very comprehensive health home from birth to death. I think sometimes, and you and I have talked in the past, people think that you have to be uninsured or be poor to come to El Rio, and that's totally not true. Anybody can come to El Rio. In fact, our mayor last week started the press conference with the fact that he's a relatively new patient at El Rio himself and
wow.
really pleased with his care.
Wow. In my almost 30 years doing the news in this town, I have noticed this growth with El Rio. And I can remember when I first came to town in 1988, El Rio was just started to grow. And look what it has become today. This is a major employer in our town, isn't it?
Yes, we have grown, like you said, substantially, and we now employ, as you shared when you introduced us, over 1,100 employees here in Tucson, and we're now one of the largest employers downtown, with just under half of those employees being in the downtown area, and we're the 25th largest community health center now in the country.
You're kidding. I had no idea, really, that kind of growth. What about, this is taxed, the charitable tax credit time. Can folks get involved in that way with the El Rio Foundation?
There's definitely all kinds of ways to get involved with El Rio. And yes, we are a nonprofit charitable tax credit organization, and we welcome gifts that would go to programs in healthcare for people that don't have insurance, or children and adults where we're really doing progressive medicine and preventative medicine and wellness activities that are not funded in any other way.
And you have this dental portion. A lot of people don't think of that, but I was just reflecting when it comes to dental care, I know the Pima Council on Aging, Brenda, has been surveying people and their health needs. And guess what pops up pretty much at the top of the list? Older people want good dental care, Brenda.
You're so right, Bill. It has been one of those, I mean, and it surprised me when I saw that survey, and over housing or food or other kinds of services, dental care has risen to the top of that list, and it's a big area of need for our community, and many people don't know that El Rio actually operates the largest nonprofit dental in the state of Arizona with three locations. We do about 50,000 dental visits a year, and if somebody doesn't have dental insurance, we can put them on a sliding fee scale and work with them.
You know, going back to this Arizona charitable tax credit, it's a great deal. How does it work, basically? What are the nuts and bolts of it?
Yeah, I think that a lot of people don't realize that this is different than the school tax credit. And we're very fortunate this year that the governor signed and doubled the amount. So dollar for dollar, if you file your Arizona taxes here in our state, you can deduct up to $400 now. It used to be $200, $400 for an individual, up to $800 for a couple. That doubled as well, to a qualifying charity that serves primarily a working poor population. So there are a number of us here in Southern Arizona, and we are part of a coalition of organizations that are working actively to get the word out that this tax credit is a wonderful way to keep your dollars local.
If someone's looking for health, for a health care provider, can they just call your offices, or can they walk in? What can you suggest to some of our listeners, Brenda?
Yeah, either way. So I would encourage people to go to elrio.org, ELRIO.org. They can go through that website. Our phone number on that website and our general information line for either making a gift or learning how to be a patient would be 670-3909. Again, 670-3909. And we can direct them for either medical care, dental care, and anyone is always welcome to walk into any of our 11 locations and ask for assistance. That's what we're here to help.
We really appreciate it. Brenda Goldsmith, always a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much.
Well, Bill, thank you for your continued support, and happy holidays to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. Brenda Goldsmith, happy holidays to you. Brenda is the executive director of the El Rio Health Foundation. She has been part of our CEO interview series presented by Sun Corridor Incorporated. For more information, we encourage you take a look at the Sun Corridor website. It's been a great year for economic development in Tucson, Arizona, and 2017 is promising to be a really great year as well. The website is suncorridorinc.com. It's the Buckmaster Show at 12:44.
Did you know that this year you can give more charitable tax credit dollars than ever before and claim a dollar-for-dollar credit on your Arizona state taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit Coalition, a group of 31 local charities, encourages you to put your state tax dollars to work in our community. It's easy. Feel good when you give at givelocalkeeplocal.org. That's givelocalkeeplocal.org.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootoole.org/holidaynights.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved, almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. If you're looking for a great weekend getaway, maybe do some last-minute Christmas shopping. How about Silver City? Just a three-hour ride over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So much to do in a historic Silver City in Grant County. Check out their website. They have a beautiful website, southwestnewmexico.org, and there you will find the many great places to stay and the many terrific recreation opportunities in Silver City. Let's go now to Vail, Arizona, and on our live line from his observatory in Vail is Dr. David Levy. Dr. Levy is the Buckmaster Show contributor on science, the former science editor of Parade magazine. He now heads up and was the founder of and is the founder of Sharing the Sky Science Education Organization. He's one of the most successful comet discoverers in history, 23 comets to his credit, including the co-discovery of Shoemaker 9. Levy, that's the comet that collided with Jupiter in 1994. What a spectacular explosion that was. Dr. Levy, I presume.
Well, hello, Bill, and I want to begin by wishing you and all of your listeners the very best for the holidays, and may the new year bring you all the wishes that you wish for.
Oh, what a nice greeting, and a happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas to everybody. I think Hanukkah is on the same day as Christmas this year.
Yes, in fact, the first night is the same as Christmas Eve.
Wow, very, very cool. So
this year,
everybody can celebrate at the same time.
Yeah.
Hey, we've got a full moon. Is that going to impact the meteor shower?
It did. In fact, last night, more than the full moon impacted it, it was the high clouds that were there. I was able to see one meteor last night, and I think three or four the night before. But it really did impact the shower last night, and it really cut down. Instead of 114 or 120 meteors that I could have seen if there had been no moon, it was down to one.
Oh, my goodness. Well, rather disappointing. Hey, your comet search began the day after my birthday, you began it December 16th. No, that's my birthday. You began December 17th, 1965, as I was a freshman in college. My goodness.
Yeah, what college, Phil?
The University of Arizona for my undergraduate work.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I went to McGill, got flunked out of it twice.
Up in Montreal, yes.
And then went to Acadia.
Mm-hmm.
And got a master, an undergraduate degree at Acadia in English literature that I finally was able to do well in. Then I got a master's degree also in English at Queen's University in Ontario, and finally my doctorate at the Hebrew University just a few years ago, also in English literature.
Well, so this is the anniversary, December 17th, of your search for the...
Yes, it will be the 51st anniversary of the first time I searched for comets back in 1965.
And what about the future plans for searching for comets?
Well, I don't know. As I get older, I'm finding that the... and also what happened in the wake of our discovery of Comet Shoemaker-Levy 9, people were starting to get more serious about professional automated searches, and that's kind of what they're doing now, and there's almost no room for visual and amateur observers like me to make any further contributions to the idea of searching and finding comets.
The electronic search of the heavens, then, is kind of the way it's going for comet searching?
Unfortunately, I think that's the way it's going now.
Yeah, and how does that work? They do a full scan or something?
Well, they have the telescope, and it moves from one field to the next, and there's software to detect anything that is moving, and so essentially you don't really need the human equation in there anymore.
Mm.
And everything is automated, and there's a group called the Central Bureau for Astronomical Telegrams. It's somewhat quaintly named, but it's still there from the old days when you actually had to send a telegram. But now it's all done via email and the Internet, and there's really no more room left for amateurs like me. So I'm going into other things like meteors, and I'm still doing some comet hunting, but not as much, not nearly as much as before.
I sure wish you could put in that elusive 24th, so we could say before you pack it up, David Levy, that you had the even two dozen there for you.
Yeah.
Your lovely wife Wendy is coming up. Her birthday, I believe, is the end of the month, right?
Yes, coming up on the 29th this year. Mm-hmm. We're going to go out and have a little celebration for Wendy's birthday, and it's another big event coming up in our year.
And what about our quote of the month from David Levy?
This month I'd like to quote from my favorite book, Starlight Nights. There is a chill in the autumn air as I walk down the path that leads along the brow of the hill. Already in the gathering dusk, a few of the stars are turning on their lights. Vega, the brightest one, is now dropping toward the west. Can it be that half a year has gone since I watched her April rising in the east, low down in the southwest, and Tarry still blinks a red-eyed sad farewell to fall, while just above the horizon in the far northeast, Capella sends flickering beacon flashes. Instinctively, I turn and look back toward the north-southeast for Capella's co-riser. Yes, there it is, Fomalo, the autumn star, aloof from all the others, in a sky made darker from the rising purple shadow of the earth.
And the author of again?
That is Leslie C. Peltier. Is my favorite author, and really had a wonderful life between 1900 and 1980. He discovered 12 comets, and he reading his book inspired me to join the American Association of Variable Star Observers, which I am still very active with.
Big event coming up in 2017, I guess, will be the total eclipse of the sun, and that will be coming up in August, is it?
It's August the 21st, yeah. And here in Tucson, we will see a deep partial eclipse.
Ooh.
So if you don't want to go anywhere, you'll see that. However, Wendy and I are going to Madras, Oregon, where we will catch, hopefully, the total phase of the eclipse.
I always associate the Orion, the constellation Orion, with the holiday season. Can you give us an update? Where is Orion these days?
Orion will come up just after dark tonight, when the moon will be in the north, the northeast, and Orion will be rising in the southeast at the same time, at just after dark, and you can recognize it by those three stars in a row that form the belt. Contrary to what you hear on other media, you do not need an app to see it. You just need your eyes and a clear night, and you go outside, a little imagination, and you can see those three stars that form the belt of the constellation of Orion.
And Orion will be visible into really pretty much throughout the whole winter season,
yes,
correct,
it is,
David?
It is the winter constellation that is easiest to see. It's brilliant. And the interesting thing about it is that most of its stars are physically in the same around the same distance from us, about 1,500 light years, we're seeing a whole group of stars that are very young, and that have some of which have just formed, some of which are less than a million years old, so they really are babies as far as stars go.
David, we have you scheduled for, I think we're going to have you early in the new year, but this will be my first chance to kind of wish you a happy new year and ask you, have you and Wendy made any kind of a new year's resolution for 2017?
A new year's resolution is that I will try to behave myself and be a better husband to Wendy, and we're going to try to have a fun year and enjoy the eclipse and enjoy our Adirondack Astronomy Retreat and other things that we love to do and that we love to share.
And we certainly wish you both a wonderful holiday season. And, you know, most important of all, a wonderful health, David Leaf, David and Wendy.
Well, and for you too, Bill. Thanks so much, and we'll speak with you in a few weeks.
Thank you very much. Dr. David Leavy, a world-renowned comet discoverer. There are very few people in the world that have discovered as many comets as David Leavy, and we're just delighted and honored that he comes on our program once a month. In fact, you can find the full list. I'm so proud of these contributors. All their bios and their little pictures listed at buckmastershow.com. That's also the place where we have all of our shows posted as we come up to our six-year anniversary on January 3rd for our radio project. My friend Ray Allen, who is my engineer producer, is going to be switching chairs with us. Well, I'm not going to actually go to Ray's chair and be on the other side of the glass. I'll be off for a couple of days celebrating my birthday in San Diego, kind of get away for a little while. So Ray's going to hold down the fort tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, and then our friend Dan Shear will be here Friday. So we've got a lot of local talk still. We've got Mike Check with Mike Shaw, 4 to 5 in the afternoon. Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9. Talking Culture, 9 to 10. And then the Buckmaster Show coming along at 12:04 tomorrow with Ray Allen. On behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.